If you would turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark again. The Gospel of Mark. As we have been consistently going through this study over a few years, as I get opportunities to preach, you know that in this section, the Lord has been dealing with some scribes and Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, seeking to trip him up, to cause him to stumble, to turn the people against him. Yet our Lord has always answered with wisdom. And now we see the Lord, as we saw this morning, turning the tables upon these men. Yet not in a vindictive way, but in a very sober and a justified way. And this morning we saw that he exposes their ignorance as to who the true identity of the Christ was. Not only is he the son of David, as they said, he is the Son of God, David's Lord. Now tonight we come to the section, Psalm section, verse 38 to 40, and I'll read that in your hearing before any further introduction. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seat in the synagogue, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Hypocrisy is an abominable sin. It is repulsive. It is vile. It is loathsome. It is offensive to all, and more importantly, God. Job says a hypocrite could not come before God. Job 13 and verse 16. And he says again, the hypocrite has no hope. God takes away his life. God will not hear his cry. Job 27 verses 8 to 10. Jesus himself hated the sin of hypocrisy. And we have our Lord's blistering attack on the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, 13 to 29. He says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees," over and over again, "hypocrites." Our Lord seems to have a loathing for hypocrisy. If there is any justified anger, then it is not only seen when the Lord turned those hypocrites and deceivers and wicked persons out of the temple who desecrated his father's house. It is also seen here in his attack on hypocrites. And hypocrisy is a terrible thing in the church. And unfortunately, it is becoming more prevalent even in our own day and age. You say, what is a hypocrite? Well, according to the Bible, and as I take out my Greek and Hebrew concordance, it says it is a person in the Hebrew who is soiled. Soiled, i.e. with sin. Impious. That is a person who is godless, ungodly, unholy, irreligious, profane, blasphemous, irreverent, disgraceful, atheistic, according to my thesaurus. This is the Hebrew, soil. In Greek, it is a person who is an actor, a person under an assumed character. So the hypocrite appears to be something other than what he is. He is a deceiver. He covers his true character with the aim to deceive those before whom he is putting on his show. He is an actor. He is not what he appears to be. Whatever the external appearance, there is a corruption within, and he is seeking to cover it. He may appear to be righteous, holy, Yet underneath, the hypocrite is wicked, deceptive, and all the descriptions I gave earlier. In the section we are about to study, the Lord is giving a warning against the scribes. Mark 12:38-40. I don't believe this warning is against all the scribes, but those that practice hypocrisy. I say this because there were genuine persons among this group of men, like the scribe who our Lord commended. We saw in Mark 12:34. There is also Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. Remember, the scribes, many scribes were Pharisees of that sect. It was Nicodemus. And in Acts 15:5, we are told of some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed. And in Matthew 23:3, it is their hypocritical work that is those who are hypocrites, not all, who Jesus is warning us against. And this evening we will look at the hypocrisy of these scribes. And we will see, God willing, one, the warning of the Lord Jesus, beware. The identification of the hypocritical scribes, positively and negatively, and the reward of the hypocrite, and some words of conclusion. Firstly then, the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus warns those he is teaching in the temple. As he is going along teaching, as he has dealt consistently, precisely, systematically with the scribes before, he is still teaching and he continues to teach. Hence, he is not rebuking anyone. He is not turning anyone against anyone. He is teaching in the temple. And as he has been carefully teaching what the scriptures say concerning the ignorant teaching of the scribe, he now warns the people about their hypocrisy. And again, he is careful about the way he deals with things. The Lord does not just rant and rave. The Lord doesn't approach it in any old way, but he is careful in the way he deals with this subject. Note verse 38 of chapter 12. Then he said to them, beware of the scribes who desire to go around, and so on. Beware. This means to look at. Literally or figuratively, to behold. To perceive. To take heed. When we see the word beware, then we are cautious. We're on our guard. We watch out. We are aware of a certain danger. We can't see the danger, but because of the signs, because of the warning, we are aware. We are aware of the danger of X-ray and the radioactive effect of our mobile phones. The warnings have been going out. What do? We don't throw them away. We don't stop using them. We need them. No, we become more cautious. We use earpieces. We use whatever's necessary because of the danger. We are cautious. So Jesus is saying here, turn the thoughts. Direct the mind. Be on your guard. There is a danger that you have not realized. There is a danger in the area and you need to watch out. And more so, this danger is coming from the most unlikely persons, remember. They're spiritual leaders. From these men, they would not expect anything terrible to come. Some may have had some notions over personal dealings. But on the whole, these were the men they had been told to submit to. These were the men who were over them. These were the men they should be able to trust, so they might have been at ease. And Jesus warns them. Who then are they to beware of? In verse 38, beware of the scribes. Now, if this is taken in isolation, then those who Jesus was teaching would not have trusted and been uneasy with all their spiritual leaders. That is a natural consequence. We must be rational. If Jesus had said, beware of the scribes, and meant exactly that, then there would have been unease. There would have been suspicion. But as I have said, that was not what Jesus intended. This is clear from Matthew 23 and verse 3. If you just turn to that, Matthew 23. And verse 3. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. And so on. Do what they say, only don't play the hypocrite. Listen to them. They are over you, but don't be a hypocrite. Mark also does not leave this to chance, but records, beware of the scribes, and he says, who go around in like manner? Mark chapter 12, and our verse again. That is, who or which do these things? Beware of those who practice hypocrisy. Be on your guard against those who are hypocrites. Not all of them. This is not a message to turn anyone against their leaders, but be on your guard, because amongst your leaders there are hypocrites. Mark also is not leaving this to chance. He's saying, or Jesus is saying, according to Mark, don't follow these men blindly. Be alert, be aware. You must watch out. There is danger. Be careful. Secondly, though, the identification of these hypocritical scribes. In the light of what Jesus had said, how are these men to be identified? Is it left to guesswork? Does Jesus just throw out the warning and say, well, you decide for yourselves? No. As Jesus has been doing all the way through, he teaches the people carefully, precisely, consistently. So the identity of the hypocritical scribes, in the light of what he had said, he wants to now identify them. You see, most, if not all hypocrites, are identifiable men. When one carefully looks at them, carefully studies, there are signs. They're like an actor. If an actor is good, you cannot tell. He goes through his lines, he parades before you, he's got his mask, he's got his makeup and his wig. You can't tell. Until you make some serious investigation. First of all, you may remove his wig. You remove his mustache. You remove his glasses, his hat. And you take off his cloak. You take off his makeup. And then suddenly, lo and behold, you discover a completely different person beneath. You understand who it is beneath. The costume is gone. The scribes who are hypocrites are identifiable. And Jesus identifies them. He identifies them positively. He says they desire to go around in long robes. Now the word desire here means there is a determination to dress like this. There's no compulsion, there's no order, there's no command. But there is a desire to dress like this. They love to dress like this. They are fond of dressing like this. They like to do this. This is, as it were, their personal fetish, their fixation. They choose to dress up in robes. We have the same word used in Luke 23 and verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he desired for a long time to see him. These men were passionate about what they wore. Not only do they desire to dress in this robe, they desire to go around like it. They like dressing up and going all around. And what for? For everybody to see. The robe here is an equipment of clothing, especially a loose outer garment for men, which extended to the feet. This type was worn by kings, priests, and persons of rank. We've seen the films, haven't we? You had the Trojan War on telly, and you had the recent films that are on telly. And we see the kings dressed in their royal regalia. We see the priests in their royal regalia. Well, this is the type of thing that these were wearing. And these scribes love to show off their clothing. They liked, as it were, floating around like this. And they like to be seen by everybody. They like to look stunning in public appearance. They were comfortable in this. They were peacocks. They were show-offs. They loved it. And they paraded themselves all around. But secondly, hypocritical scribes love greeting in the marketplace. Second identification, they love greeting in the marketplace. So here we have them again floating around the marketplace seeking attention and getting it. But they didn't just want ordinary greetings. They didn't just want you to shake their hand and say hello. The greetings these men love, the type they enjoyed the most, and this is what we're talking about, these men enjoy the praise of men. These men enjoy the regalia. But the ones they love were the formal ceremonial compliments. They loved being stopped in the marketplace and being called rabbi. Matthew 23 and verse 7, if you just look at that. And verse 7. They love greeting in the marketplace and to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi. They love to be recognized as the rabbi. They love to be recognized as someone important. They like to be recognized as a great one, the great master, the great teacher, the great I am. They were all on show. Jesus says, beware of these. This is what a hypocrite does. All self, all show, all appearance, all froth. Thirdly, the hypocritical scribes that the people are to beware are those that love the best seats in the synagogue. Turn back to Mark 12. They love the best seats in the synagogue and the best places at feasts. Now, if these men were in this congregation today, amongst you, they would love to sit right up here besides me. If there was two of them, one would be there and one would be there. And if there was more, then they would have a bench for themselves, not there, but there. They'd be like to be right besides me. What are they doing? They're on show. They like to be on show, not just on show as persons here, but as important persons. Not only do they like the preeminence in the place of worship, though, they love the chief, most important places at the meal table, in feasts. Now, those of us who attend the minister's conference, we have the tables laid up upstairs for the feast, our meal. They're all laid out in order. And we all sit down. And we all eat together. There's no preeminence. No one's greater than anyone else. But if these men went to the feast, then they would want the table set apart by itself. They would not be happy sitting amongst the other people. They would not be content to sit there. They would need the preeminence. They loved the place of importance, as hypocrites do. They are positives. There is nothing positive about it. So when I say negative and positive, I don't mean there is any good in the traits of the hypocrite. But J.A. Alexander sums up what I mean as we look at the negatives, or the negative identification of these hypocritical scribes. He says, while proceeding, the preceding verse, that's verse 39, presents a lively but humiliating picture of the vanity and levity of these Jewish clergy or religious teachers, that before us, verse 40, adds a darker trait, belonging not to manners merely, but morals, or mores in the higher sense. For all their external regalia and external appearance, almost humorous to our minds as we sit here imagining these men floating about, these men were wicked, crafty, cold-hearted, and they were set on destruction. I hope you're beginning to see the danger of hypocrisy in the church. Because we can all laugh at these things as they breeze in, and laugh at these people as they breeze in. But it's a serpent's bite when it takes hold in the church of Jesus Christ, as it did in the church of God, the Jewish nation. Note what these hypocrites do. Chapter 12 and verse 40. Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. That's what these people do. They devour widows' houses. These men, under the pretense of doing good, offering poor widows advice, help after bereavement, or in other areas of need, these hypocrites were consumed totally with getting as much out of these poor women as they could bleed. With all their regalia, which would have brought trust and respect, and with their loving arm, they were extortioners of a most wicked and cold kind. And these would probably have been to the women, as it were, their local priest, their local pastor, and probably weeping with them in that false way, pretending to be one with them, and as it were, putting the arm of support around their shoulders. And all they were after was the estate. All they were after was the money. Brethren, hypocrisy. Hypocrites are wicked and cold-hearted people. And we need to watch out. We need to watch out in the church, and we need to watch who we allow to help us, particularly in times of bereavement. And also make sure that we, as we are able, to put our affairs in order before we die. We are constantly told that from the pulpit. But these people are out there. These people in the church. These people at the helm of the church, directing and guiding and governing the church. And we know something of that, don't we, brethren? Because we've seen it. If it's been reported to us, and we've heard of it. These hypocritical scribes, for pretense, make long prayers. Verse 40. Does this mean that all those who make long prayers are hypocrites? The point here, I believe, is not the long prayer, but the motive. Something may be said about long prayers in the prayer meeting, but that's not the point here. The point is the pretense. Their long prayers were just a show, a cloak, a front. All their religious activity, all their pomp, all their good-heartedness, all their goodwill was just a show, a front. The point William Hendrickson makes is good. He says, it was for the purpose of drawing attention to themselves that the scribes offered these almost endless prayers. We have an example of the prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 5. You can read for yourselves. All they were seeking was honour from men or their own end. But Hendrickson says, was that really all? And he says, the close grammatical position of devouring the widows' houses and offering lengthy prayers have led some to suggest that between the two activities there was a very close connection. The meaning being, they devoured widows' houses, and to cover up their wickedness, they make long prayers. The longer they prayed for the widow, or at least in their presence, the more they can pray upon them. But these men are cold and calculated. Whether you accept that or not, their aim, their purpose, however they went about it, was to devour this woman's house, and that means to eat up, to take everything, to have the estate for themselves. They were taken up with pride and self and money. So you can see how wicked these hypocrites were, and why our Lord warns the people to be on their guard, to watch out. But thirdly, we must move to the reward of the hypocrite. If you look at verse 40, who devour widows' houses and pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. The hypocritical scribes will receive the greater condemnation. The condemnation they will receive in the judgment will be superabundantly more than the people under them. The condemnation they will receive will far exceed those who they are over. God's judgment against them, or against these men, will be to a higher degree. It will be excessively more. This is the punishment for their hypocrisy. But more than that, those who practice hypocrisy will be condemned. Why do I say that? If the scribes religious leaders will receive from the Lord the greater condemnation, it then follows that those who follow their hypocritical practices will also be condemned. It may not be to the same degree, but still it is condemnation. I.e., God's judgment will still come upon hypocrites. These men may, as it were, receive the hottest place in hell because of their abuse or the abuse of their God-given office. But nonetheless, those who follow them will still be in hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One will have the greater condemnation, yes. They are the leaders. But those who continue in the practice of hypocrisy, those who do not watch their leaders, those who just follow their leaders, those who do not look at the word of God and are responsible for themselves and act in hypocrisy, they too will be condemned. Because we saw from Job earlier that a hypocrite will not even come before God. Now, why do I say this? Because of the natural conclusion. If some will receive the greater condemnation, then what is left is condemnation for some. Secondly, I say this because of what our Lord says again in Matthew chapter 23. He says, "Do not do according to their works." Why? For they say, and they do not do. This is an express warning not to follow their works. Note them so that you don't follow them. And it may not be the leader here in our case, but simply a hypocrite. Note them and don't follow what they do, because a hypocrite will not be in heaven. So what am I saying? Don't play the hypocrite. For the hypocrite will receive greater condemnation. Do you know the people of God can play the hypocrite? We're not hypocrites. We are children of light. But we can do the reverse activity of these scribes. We can play the hypocrite in our actions. Some conclusions. Firstly, we must conclude how great a sin is the sin of hypocrisy in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle says, "Of all the sins into which men can fall, none seems so exceedingly sinful as false profession and hypocrisy. It is even worse to pretend to have a religion while in reality we serve the world." What a statement. It is worse, because in that section I missed some out, it is worse than practicing the vile sins. At least people know what you are. But you try to be a Christian, pretend to be a Christian. You pretend to be a reformed Christian in a Bible-believing church, and in fact you're living in the world, then I tell you it's worse. Because we are judged according to what we are given. The more that we are given, the more is expected. Secondly, hypocrisy in the church leadership is an even greater sin. It is an abuse of the God-given authority and position. God has placed leaders over the church to build it up. People must be able to trust us as those who look out for their souls, not as those who seek their own end. How do you think, practically, these people felt after our Lord had warned them? about their spiritual leaders. I say there must have been uneasiness in the worship service. I say there must have been uneasiness in the counselling session. And think of the widow, how they must have felt, particularly those in the advanced stages of some agreement over the stage with their local rabbi. It shouldn't be in the leadership of the church. Why was Jesus identifying these scribes? As we saw according to Matthew 23, verse 3, it was so that the multitudes did not follow their hypocritical conduct. Jesus was not seeking to turn the people against them, as they did to him. But hypocrisy in religion is so dangerous. If the people followed their leaders, then they would land in hell. Hypocrisy unrepented of will land you in hell. It is a horrible sin against God and against man. Hebrews chapter 13 says about leaders, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. As leaders, we are supposed to be examples to the flock. We are to be examples to them. People should be able to follow our faith, follow our conduct, follow our character, mould themselves upon us. Leaders should be examples, not hypocrites, not deceivers. And we've heard enough reports about men who play the hypocrite. Whole churches split because one man is a hypocrite. It's a dangerous thing. To the church in general, we have a responsibility to watch our leaders' conduct. And we are to follow their good examples. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example. You have us as a pattern. But not only the apostle, but those who walk in this manner. There are other good Christians. There are other good leaders. There are other good ministers. There are good role models. And you have some in this place. Follow their good example. Not their mistakes, not their failures, not their bad, their good example. And the apostle says, follow them. And the apostle was no hypocrite himself. In the same chapter, you can read this for yourself, and verse 12 and following, the apostle Paul calls attention to himself. He hasn't apprehended you yet. He is not perfect yet. And in another place, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He is open, he is honest. That's the example we want. Openness, transparency. And he says, often and now I tell you, even weeping, that there are some who are hypocrites, and they're not friends, they're enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 18. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. See, my dear friends, you've got to examine yourself. We've got to examine ourselves, all of us. Are we playing church? Are we playing Christian? Are we here in pretense with our nice suits and clothes on? When our heart is hard, we have no interest in Christ, no interest in the people of God, no interest in the prosperity and growth and expansion of the kingdom in this place. We need to examine ourselves. I've got much more to say, but I'm going to end it here. But I want to say one thing about this place. One of the joys of being in this congregation that I have found is the transparency of the majority. And I tell you, dear brethren, I feel comfortable. I've been rebuked. I've been challenged. People have come up to me after the sermon and told me, even a small point, but I feel comfortable. I know that most of you are not going to let me walk in hypocrisy. Pray to God that we were all like that. Big brothers over each other, watching each other, checking each other, telling each other. When we see one going astray, then get around that person. Pray for them if they won't let you near them. We're a congregation of the living God. Praise be to God that we can feel secure in this place. It's a privilege. We should treasure it. We should pray that it should continue. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly praise you for your word and for what you tell us to do. You tell us to be open, transparent, genuine. Oh God, we confess that we have not always been this. We pray, dear God, that you would challenge each one of us and show us our sin and cause us to return as we are praying. Give us life, revive us, oh God, that we truly would walk in newness of life with an openness and transparency and goodness within us. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We pray that you would bless your word to us. Now, Lord, dismiss us in peace, we beg, until we meet again or until we meet in glory, whatever. Lord, our desire is that you should be glorified. Receive all the praise, the glory, the honour and the majesty, for you are God. Amen.